This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, together with Noel Lim and Philip C. Meanwhile, we are turning our attention to Canada, where a hard-fought election has essentially reverted back to the status quo. Justin Trudeau's Liberals won a third straight election, but fell short of the majority that they were seeking in the snap vote. They'll be returning to government with no significant change to Parliament.
Prime Minister Trudeau also called the election in order to secure a more decisive mandate, as the previous election in 2019 had resulted with a minority government. However, you know, with the successful handling of the pandemic, obviously he felt that they had the upper hand. But I think many voters, it appears, were unhappy that an election was called despite cases remaining high.
So the re-elected Prime Minister has a heavy entree in reviving the economy, tackling the pandemic and dealing with climate challenges in this Arctic nation. So will a status quo government mean status quo in policies? To help us unpack the election outcome in Canada, we have on the line Grant Wyeth, a researcher at the Asia Institute at the University of Melbourne. Good morning, Grant. Thanks so much for joining us today. Canada voted on Monday and ultimately opted for the status quo. So did Trudeau take a bad gamble in calling for the elections?
Well, at the beginning of August, it seemed like the right thing to do. His poll numbers said that if he did go to an election, it would produce a majority government for him. And he'd seen some trends in provincial elections up until then where minority governments had been upgraded to majority governments in provincial elections, and he thought that this trend would continue. But that doesn't seem to have been the case. Instead, the public has basically just returned a parliament that was pretty much exactly the same as the one that left. I think the issue now is probably that the Liberal Party and the Conservative Party can only really gain about a third of the electorate's vote each. And then another third of the electorate are going to an array of other parties, and it makes it incredibly difficult for majority governments to be achieved now in Canada. So there's been 7 elections now this century, and 5 of them have produced minority governments. So that's kind of it's a difficult terrain now for any party to win a majority in Canada.
What were the main themes dominating the elections beyond the handling of the pandemic?
Well, it was a bit of an election about nothing, really. I mean, beyond the pandemic, there wasn't really any major initiatives or any major platforms that the parties were putting out. They were basically running mostly on their conventional platforms. And because of that, it was quite a negative campaign, especially, you know, the Liberal Party, Trudeau and the Liberal Party were trying to scare the public away from the Conservative Party, claiming that they were going to make it easier for people to purchase guns, and they were claiming that the Conservative Party are an anti-vax party and whatnot. So it wasn't really an election of any kind of major themes, apart from, you know, the pandemic and just your kind of general, you know, politics of scaremongering, I think.
Right, so an election about nothing and negative rhetoric. So as a minority government, what concessions is he expected to make or to earn the support of other parties then?
Yeah, so he has two options now. If the Conservatives oppose legislation, he has two options now. He can either choose to work with the Bloc Québécois, and they vote on legislation. Basically, if it's good for Quebec, they'll vote for it. If it's not good for Quebec, they won't vote for it. They used to be a separatist party. They're no longer really a separatist party, but they're very open to negotiation. So they're not an obstructionist party at all. The other party who the Liberal Party are able to work with is the New Democratic Party, who are probably a bit to the left of the Liberal Party. And so their leader, Jagmeet Singh, he will probably be looking for increased taxes on the wealthy. And also he's very much keen on having the federal government more heavily subsidised pharmaceuticals for the public as well. So prior to the election, the Liberal Party and the NDP were working very well together, and they have a lot of common ground. And that was one of the reasons why it was kind of unnecessary to go to an election, because they were working so well together.
So, Grant, then, what about in terms of foreign policy? Are we likely to see Canada's foreign policy with Asia-Pacific change, in particular their frosty relationship with China? I mean, there was some criticism domestically over Canada's absence from the AUKUS Defence Pact, for example.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't think foreign policy will change that too much. With China, there's obviously a lot of issues at the moment with, you know, the extradition trial of Huawei executive Meng Wanzhou, and the two Canadians that are being held in China at the moment. That seems to be in retaliation for that. Canada has been kind of less forceful with China compared to, say, the US or Australia. But they seem to be working more behind the scenes. They have, a more subtle foreign policy. But I think Canada will always tie its foreign policy very closely to that of the United States, just because not only does it share a long border, but also the United States is overwhelmingly its largest trading partner. It doesn't have a situation like we do here in Australia, where our largest trading partner is with China, and we have to take that into account. Canada's largest trading partner is always with the United States. So that ties Canada far more closely to the United States.
Well, Trudeau is widely regarded as a modern-day progressive. Do you think his tenure, as it gets extended, will his posturing become more insular or more outward-driven?
Yeah, I mean, I think he tends to trade in progressive symbols, but I think he lacks a bit of authenticity as well. He has an unusual speaking style, which is very, you know, it seems quite patronizing. He seems to, you know, really, I guess, look down on people, but it also is a very inauthentic speaking style, which makes people think that he doesn't actually believe the things he says. Like he says things that he thinks people want to hear rather than things he actually believes. So I think, you know, over the 6 years he's been in office, I think that initial image of him as this kind of progressive leader has diminished a bit. And that obviously comes from governing as well. Once you're in power for 6 years, you know, you have to make a lot of hard choices, and that, you know, takes a lot of sheen off you as well.
I have to say it's very interesting that, you know, you find his authenticity and how he presents himself very interesting. So tell me about his performance, right? How is he done in navigating the economy? Because we also see that the economy is also experiencing quite massive fiscal deficits in Canada as well since he came into power.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think it's obviously the pandemic has disrupted everybody's economy. It's been a huge hit to everyone. The Liberal Party are trying to juggle a lot of issues, especially, like, you know, their reliance on oil in the Western provinces, which are a huge revenue source, but also trying to balance that with action on climate change is very difficult for the country. And that also creates kind of regional tensions in the country as well, because you know, Alberta and Saskatchewan are so heavily reliant on oil. I think, you know, the public generally believes that the Liberal Party are doing the right thing. You know, it's a party that, you know, has been in power for 70 of the last 100 years. You know, the public trusts them, even if they have grown a little more suspicious of Trudeau himself. The public tends to trust the Liberal Party.
Grant, thanks so much for speaking to us this morning. That was Grant Wyeth from the Asia Institute at the University of Melbourne, talking to us about the Canadian elections and what this means for Justin Trudeau and his government moving forward.
Yeah, so I think some of the upside, you know, he makes all these statements that we all like to hear, and it's quite inspiring for, you know, people like us who are outside Canada. I'm not sure exactly what the Canadians feel in general, but one thing I know, he has been racking up massive fiscal deficits, but it's not something that Canadian voters didn't know about when he first came into power. That was his promise. And so I guess it's something you just have to live with.
I must say, I was enamored when I heard his speeches in the beginning. But as you hear more and hear more of him often, you really question, you know, the two generalist comments he makes, you know. And so I always wonder how popular is he in his home country. And I think the results kind of show that actually he is relatively popular. But this, I think, decision to call for an election was not a popular one. Because in the end, it was an election about nothing. It was an election about negative rhetoric. And that wasn't a really good outcome.
Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.